102.1, where R&B lives and hip hop right now. Because I'm sorry, should I call you Scarface or should I call you Brad Jordan?
See, now you working, Hatter.
I've noticed in the last few years, it seems like you try to stretch away from the Scarface name, but everybody keeps bringing you back.
I know they will not let.
They'll say Brad Scarface. Jordan.
Yeah. That's cool.
I think because you've made it clear that you kind of want to step away. It seems to me, and I could be wrong about that.
No, you're not never. Man, you know you're never wrong.
Now, I'm always with you. Yeah. Why the step away, though? You can never fight that past.
So, like, it's time to start doing other things. You know what I mean?
I'm diplomatic as hell when I put my answers right. I know you want to play golf all day long. I get it.
You have no clue.
I get it. But as this MC who's, what do they say? They say Scarface is every rapper's favorite rapper. So it's going to always be hard for you to try to divorce yourself from everybody's favorite rapper, because you will be recognized as everybody's favorite rapper. And every time we talk, you try to deny everything that I say about what all your fans, all the other MCs, classic MCs, I don't have to name names, all of them say about you.
I think it's pretty cool. You know, I'm not going to downplay
it
no
more. All right.
It's cool.
Okay.
Because, you know, just this past couple of months, in the fall, I had the opportunity to go on stage, on the big stage, mm-hmm. with Ice Cube. I was on that tour, you know, and he didn't have to put me on the tour. He didn't have to, you know, pay me to go on the tour. He didn't even advertise me. It was just a surprise guest, you know, when he came to that city and he let me come out. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, damn, he didn't even have to do that.
Come on, Face.
He didn't have to do
he
that.
He didn't have to do it, but.
He didn't. But it was his.
Right.
He was already selling out venues and he let me come
in. I love the way you downplay.
I'm not downplaying it. He just put me down. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't have
salute
to.
Salute the Cube on that. I
salute
respect
the Cube
that.
And yeah. Tony Draper.
Yeah.
You know?
No doubt.
Yeah, like they made it to where.
I love the way you act so surprised by this.
I'm not surprised at all, but I'm grateful.
Well, I like
I'm
that
real
part.
Grateful, man. Okay. You know? Like I appreciate that.
All right, I'm glad you mentioned this. I know you jumped on Cube's song recently. I know that the last time we spoke, you were very anti-recording music.
I still am.
But I noticed that every now and again, certain people are able to get you.
Only Cube.
You say
certain
that.
People,
you say that now.
Certain people will have records that we recorded like 5 or 10 or 15 or 20 years ago.
Okay.
And they try to surface them again.
Okay.
But notice I don't retweet it. I don't say nothing about it. I don't.
Face, if you were just on the record and it was brand new, you wouldn't do all that stuff unless golf was attached to it.
No, I mean, if I did a record with somebody that you know, like it's a couple of artists here in the city that could ask me, and I'll be reluctant to do it, but I'll do it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I'll help promote it.
You know
it
they want whatever. Me to ask you who, but I don't want to. So they're not going to.
They know who they are.
Yeah, because I don't want that controversy surrounding me because I asked the question.
No. I mean, mainly I'll do it with anybody in the city, man. I just try to avoid it as much as I can.
I love your answers, man.
Boy, diplomatic, ain't he, man?
I see you, boy.
You boy, a politician, man.
I see you. You exercising your politician skills,
yeah,
for
I'm
sure.
Very good,
for
at
sure.
This.
All right, politician. But since we're talking about albums, and I know, again, I always go back to our last conversation. Will you ever, at this point now, because I think once you put your foot
man,
in the
getting,
water,
I'm
will
getting
you?
Some beats, man.
So you saying you
no,
will?
No, I'm not saying I will. I'm just saying I hit this dude last night. you know, I like to play stuff for you.
You can't.
You know, I love playing stuff for you, man. But this guy on the internet, man, and I follow him now because his music is so dope. We had an opportunity. He's in China. Black dude in China.
Okay.
And he's making music, man. But I heard it, and I said, hey, man, hit me. So he hit me up, and I said, hey, man, shoot me that. And the ones that I want, I'm just going to hit you with the thumbs up. And he's saying, so last night, I hit him with the thumbs up. Excuse me. And he said, on the way. And Listen to this. This may make me rap again.
This one. I'm listening. Oh, come on, Face. You need to get down on that. You need to go.
That's how hip hop sounds to me.
It's already done. Come on, that song's already. Come on. Come on, man. Give me the 16, baby. Why you playing with me, dog?
I know that.
Well, okay, so you might put out an album. This is different.
No, I'm just taking beats right now.
Okay, I'm not asking no more questions about music.
You know what? I'm not going to... Well, I can't see it, man.
Steve, you going to make an album?
He said he's going to do an album of all instrumentals.
I did say that. Like beats, like my beats.
Nah, I know you.
I might do something funky like that.
So you're gonna Andre 3000 to people. You're just gonna keep on making them upset.
I'm not gonna be.
By the way, I respect Andre 3000.
I love you. I love the term.
I just know the fan base gets upset with y'all because of your pushback on making music. I understand with you where it comes from and why.
So Hatter.
But that doesn't negate that people want to hear, especially now. Especially
now. I can make them a promise.
Especially now.
I can make them a promise.
You can make them a promise?
I will make them a promise.
And the promise is?
I will not be on an album blowing a fucking flute.
Okay, I'm moving on. Here's the next question. Isn't it about time to make a movie about the Ghetto Boys, Scarface, and everything that you achieve and accomplish at a time when
it was totally different. The biopic?
Yes, isn't it about that time?
I'm in production of mine.
Oh, what you trying to tell me?
That is definitely going to be a doc and a biopic to follow shortly thereafter. But I can't tell nobody else's story. I can only tell mine.
Okay, so sound like you're saying definitely Scarface has a story to tell and he'll be telling it.
No. And Brad's going to tell his story.
His story is connected to that Ghetto Boy story.
But I'm only going to tell my side of the story.
His face got to always be Scarface.
You know, I got to always be Brad Jordan.
That's a great story. All these cats from these different places. And yes, your story by itself can be extensive too because where your career went to.
No, I can only tell my side of the story.
Yeah.
You know, from the way I saw it. And I see things, and then some things I don't.
Okay, at least on your story, are you going to go back to the boy? He's a politician, bro.
So if I didn't see those things,
okay, Face,
then I didn't see them.
I see you dancing around it, politician, politician Jordan.
You know that here's the thing about a politician.
God, here we go.
And I want to make sure that I offend every last one of them, except for like Jasmine Crockett and
why
and like Boris and like Smokey and a few more, but the rest of those henpecked, cutthroat, lowdown slime balls, they don't deserve to be where they are. They don't deserve to.
Now we just really jumped into politics.
Yeah, let's jump into it right quick, and then we can jump right out. But they do not deserve to be in those positions that we elect them to be in, because they are just as much of the system as the system is. Like, it's a few politicians, man, that sit in Congress, bro, that I absolutely don't like. Especially the ones who grandstand and they know damn well they can't do shit but just stand there and do nothing. Like, I know you can't do shit, but maybe the people don't know. But I know. All right? So it's a few politicians, and I'm not going to say no names, but Cory Booker is one of them.
What would you like them to do if they're not doing?
I'd like for them to go on and get in the mud. Mm. Go on, fight, man. You know how they doing. You know how they doing us.
So you saying you don't think they fight?
And I mean, they come from two different walks of life. You know, they come from two different walks, so they fight might be a little different than mine. Mm. Like I'm gonna go in there and challenge everything because I know the rules. I watch the rules being written. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like it's zero is a naught, five is a figure. All for the white man, none for the nigga. And that's going on to this day right now. And we ain't saying shit about it. Mm. And I don't like it. So all of these politicians out here that call themselves for the people, serving the seniors, you know, who gonna serve us?
I dig it.
I heard somebody say I'm not here to serve black people only. I'm here to serve
the people. All the people.
Nah, bro. No, they here to serve the people. We need somebody to serve the people.
Mm. Okay then.
You can take all that out. But I just want you to have that for
I'm not,
me.
No, I'm not taking
I want you
that's
to have
a real
that
comment.
Me,
no, no,
man.
That's a real comment.
Because they want to be for every motherfucking body else, but they don't want to be for their own. They look at everybody else. They for their own. I ain't never been to a Mexican restaurant and seen a nigga working there. I ain't never seen a Chinese. Hey. Am I lying?
No.
Been into a Chinese restaurant, you seen some niggas in there.
I can't think of one time.
A cigar bar. See that. They got all Middle Eastern people that work there. They only had one black dude that worked there and he died.
Okay.
All right. Yeah. And they're not in there no more. But it's all black people that support the business. I got a fucking problem with that.
As you should. I agree with that. I have no arguments with that, Fitz. Right. I think you're onto something there. And
they don't know. People don't know.
So run again.
They're not going to vote for me this time. Because they already know how ignorant I am about shit. Like that. The Epstein files. How they try to hold them. Like they holding them back.
Yeah.
Man, I'd be at the copy printer. I'd be throwing that shit out there.
Okay.
It'd be all over the place.
All right. Letting that go.
Yeah.
My next question for you, Face. And this is a very important question. How are you health-wise? How are you and how are you feeling?
Man.
Because I'm happy you're still here, and I'm happy to have this conversation with you.
Yeah. Shit, had I hit a hump? I hit a hump, bro. Like, 2020 to 2024 was a rough ride. You know what I mean? Like, that was a rough ride, bro. But it wasn't a rough ride to the point where I gave up. Like, I still did what I wanted to do. And if that was going to be the last day that I was able to do it, then I was going to go, I was going out doing what the fuck I wanted to do.
Mm.
You see what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
Like, I wanted to do me. Like, I had I'm pretty sure the people are well aware of the kidney transplant that my son and I went through.
Yep.
But when that was all said and done, I was going for those checkups, man. I had to do, like, massive checkups for that whole year or whatever. And they, you know, that aortic aneurysm that I had since 2010 is starting to get bigger and bigger and bigger. So back in 2010, my cardiologist found an aneurysm on my aorta. And she says, Dr. Tung, love her to death. She said that, you know, we're going to watch it. We're going to watch it. We're going to watch it. And I had to go through the kidney transplant. So I left the Herman system and then I went into the Methodist system. And I got a doctor by the name of Azrath Guha. And Guha, you know, found it, you know, reading the charts, whatever. He started watching it. And when I got my transplant, you know, he noticed that it started getting bigger and bigger. And he said, well, between now and the next year, and now, when did I get the transplant? 22 years. 22?
Yeah. Okay. 22 or 23?
Whichever 22. Year it was. Okay. 22. Okay, 22. So, shoot, it may have been 21.
Mm-hmm.
September of 21.
We'll fight about it later. Okay. What'd they say, though?
They said you're going to have to start, you have to go in there between the 6 months and the 6 months and the year. And I was like, okay, well, you can go up in there and do it now. And they say, no, we got to bust it open. And I was like, no, we ain't finna do that. So I think I went 3 years. I think it was three years. It had to be 3 years that I let it just linger on. Mm-hmm. And it kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And then Guha sent me to Corti, the surgeon. Mm-hmm. Well, actually, I asked him about another surgeon. I'm not going to say his name. But I say, Doc, okay, so let me get this surgeon right here. He was like, oh, no. We're going to use this guy right here. I want to use him. And I was like, okay, well, I'm going to trust you. Say, man, he the best in the world. He's, you know, from Italy. He operate on baby hearts. Mm. You know, and I got a big heart, so it wasn't no problem with mine. Anywho, man, we get there. I'm doing my visit with him, and he's saying I need a heart transplant. Yeah, Cordy said I need a transplant. He's like, I'm going to look at it again. But it seems to me the thickness and the this and the that of your heart, we may have to do a transplant. I'm like, man, I'm not going to do this. You know, but they did a biopsy. They did this. They did that. They did ran tests and looked at it and seen what he was up against. He was like, yeah, no, we're not going to have to do a transplant. We're just going to fix what's going on. And we're going to probably set it off in August.
They fix it?
Yeah, to fix it in August. I said, okay, cool. And so let me go and do this tour first.
Listen to things. I'm going to do the tour first. Then
I'm going to do the tour first. And then when I come back, we can go on and handle business. Okay. Right? So I think the last date I had was with the Roots Picnic. And I was supposed to go in August for the surgery to get it done. And came back. They did all the stuff and prepped me for surgery, got ready. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to push it off. I ain't going to do it. So, you know, we kept watching. And then just with that one day, I went in. They said, well, come back Monday. I went in Friday. And they said, well, come back Monday. This is in October. Come back Monday so we can do the CAT scan and see what we got and what's going on or whatever. And I was like, man, I'm not going to go back up there, man. I'm going to push this shit off another couple of months. And like I've been doing, right? Mm-hmm. But something told me, man, hey, go ahead and at least have a look. And then Felicia Horowitz over the Paid in Full Foundation with her husband Ben, she flew out here with her agent or whatever. And she was just a whole bully about shit. You know what I mean? Like, you're going to do this and you're going to do that. And you're going to do this and you have to do that. I'm like, man. And then I almost hit her with, I'm about to go home.
Which you're notoriously famous for.
Yeah, I'm finna go home. But something just told me, man, just go ahead and go and do this shit and then go play you some golf and check in the night. Check in the hospital at night.
And be playing golf tomorrow morning?
And go and have a heart surgery. Go ahead and have a heart surgery in the morning.
Okay.
So we at Liberty Kitchen next to the St. Regis, mm-hmm. where she's staying. And her agent is staying, and we having lunch. Phone ring. The operator, the surgeon's coordinator calls me and say, "Yeah, Doc said you need to come back in now." This was after the CAT scan, after they read the results or whatever. And Doc calls me. I say, "Well, you tell him to call me himself because he played too much." So a couple of seconds later, my phone rings. Say, "You need to get back now." I said, "Busted, Doc," and he said, I don't know when it happened. I don't know if it was today or 10 days ago, but you need to get back now. Put my fog down, got up. I went to French's and I went to HEB to get me a pint of ice cream because I knew that was it. That was it. And I went to, what'd I do? I went back to the hospital probably about 8:30, 9 o'clock that night, man, after I got all my shit together or whatever. And I woke up that morning. They hit me with that mic. And I woke up 2 days later. And I was unbelievably nice to people, man.
I think you were surprised that you were nice.
Not only that, but I may have. Man, it's just something about the drugs in the hospital, man. It's just something about those drugs. I don't know what they're getting out here, but they need to go to the hospital and get high.
So after the operation, obviously you feeling good.
Man, I'm talking to my mom right after the operation. It's like, yeah, mom, I see my mom. I'm tough, mama. I'm tough. And she was like, yeah, you tough, man. You tough. But you know your great-grandfather died on the table.
Oh, God.
Why would you tell me this now? Oh, God. Why wouldn't you tell me this before I did this?
No. She did the right thing. You didn't need to hear that information. She held it the way she was supposed to hold on to it.
I find out that my grandfather's dad died on the operating table having open heart surgery. And this had to be in the 30s or 40s.
Right. Things change.
What the hell are you doing on an operating table with your heart? And how do they even know in the 30s and 40s?
That's a good question, Face. They had stuff going
I think they were just playing.
Oh.
I think they might have been just playing God. They wanted to see what was in there. And they wanted to use him to see, because there ain't no way you can just look in there back then.
That's a fair point. A little research.
Everything with me comes with a flip side of the coin. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, it may look like a picture to everybody else, but it looks like what the hell was he thinking? How did he do that? And what was what it took to paint that picture, man? So
stop when. So you thinking that this is raps because you obviously did some things that you said, let me just do this just in case, you know. Did you feel like in life at that point you had accomplished everything that
my mother says win-win. If he die, he win. If he live, he win.
How do you feel?
I feel like it was a win-win either way.
You accomplished your goals. You lived your dreams.
Yeah, definitely. I can definitely say that I have lived a dream. You know, coming from where I came from, coming from where I come from, you know, to be through what I went through and to be here now. Yeah. I lived my dream, bro.
So now you still here, kicking it. Playing golf every day. You told me what you doing in my office the other day when we was out there at the golf course.
Yeah, that's my office. He was nervous. What's wrong with you?
Why you here? He was like he was offended. He walked away. Didn't say good morning, hello. Why you here? This is my house. I'm like, come on, dog. A good morning, anything. They just kept on walking. Rude.
Oh, man.
What's the goal now for Face? Is there another dream to accomplish? Is there another goal? Or are you day by day just happy to be here after what you've gone through with your health?
I'm happy to be here, man. But I do want to watch my grandkids graduate and get married and have kids. Which probably, you know, I'm just begging now, but... See, that man,
you begging time.
I lived a dream, bro. I ain't lying, man. And I look at the people that I grew up around or with, and I see them like being in the same spot they were. Some are in the same spot they were when I left. And I always say, you know, I was talking to my child, to my daughter, and I preached this in my first sermon. Well, I didn't really preach it, but I was talking in my church to the youth about access. And I don't think that those people failed. I just don't think that they had access to what I had access to. Mm. I had access to James. And James, in turn, had access to what I needed to see in order to start dreaming. I don't think that they had access to want to start that dream. You know what I mean?
I do. I do. Without that...
Without that visual, like...
And your life could be totally different.
Yeah. I took my 13-year-old to some spots where the ultra-rich are. And I took her to where I grew up in the houses that we occupied when I was a child. And I said, I don't think that these people failed. I just don't think they had access. Because had they had access, the visual may have been a little different. The path that they took may have been a little different. And had I not had access, the path that I took wouldn't have taken.
Mm.
You know what I mean? I just feel like we have to open our children's eyes.
That's right.
And remember this: I was a kid when I started doing this. I was 16 when I met James, 17.
Mm-hmm.
So I was a kid. But I think that we need to just let them go. You know, my mother and my uncles were really dope. My aunt, my uncle, and my mom had a singing group. And they had made it or getting ready to make it, and my grandfather wouldn't let them go.
Mm-hmm.
Well, mine let me go. You know what I mean? My mama let me go. And I think it's the best thing that she ever did, that she could have done for me, was not to bury me in some shit that I didn't want to be a part of. You know what I mean? Because some parents force you to be in the house and force you to go to school and force you to do this and force you to do that. And then you have a resentment toward them for all the shit that they did to you when you were young. You still hold that. Hold them accountable for that shit in your adulthood. But I don't hold my mama accountable. I don't hold her in a lower light than I do. You know what I'm saying? I appreciate her for letting me go. Like I told you, man, my mama rented my first apartment. She rented an apartment for me in her name when I was 15 or 16 years old, maybe 15. And I had to make do, man. But that's what I wanted though.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to do that. I wanted to be a man. I was already a man, bro.
So she had to let you go.
She let me go.
Yeah.
And that was the best thing that she could have did for me. She let me go. And here I stand.
Yeah.
Now I'm not gonna lie, if I would have known I was gonna live this long, I would have took way better care of myself. But nonetheless.
You here.
I'm here, man.
What does 55 getting ready to celebrate this birthday mean to Scarface?
Well,
other than the concert, what does this mean? What's the landmark here? What's, as you look back on your life, wow, Scarface, I'm sorry, Brad Jordan made it to 55.
You know, Hatter, I look back and my, it's a blur.
Mm.
It's a blur, like it's patchy. And if you don't say certain things about certain events, I don't remember them. I don't know if that's from the COVID or if that's from the from the hospital.
Yeah.
I don't know if it came from the COVID or the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
But everything's a blur, man. I don't remember shit. I don't remember nothing, man. I don't remember nothing. I can't think of a moment. Like, if you bring up something,
you'd be like, oh, I remember.
And I can tell you what happened.
Right.
But just offhand thinking about some of the cool stuff that I went through, like, I don't remember.
You were living it. You didn't know that you were supposed to be mentally documenting every moment, like, oh, this moment's great. Oh, this moment's great.
You
just living
really
your moment.
Cool? You know what's really cool, man? And this is like, you're gonna really put you in the mind so that nigga is crazy. Like, you ever just thought about you like you're like, this is me, like this, that's you. Mm-hmm. And like, you can see everything out of you. Mm-hmm. And they can see everything you. Mm-hmm. But you can't see you. Mm. I can, but you can't.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
I can see you, but you can't see you.
I'm not thinking you crazy yet. You factually, that is correct.
You can see me, but I can't see myself. So I don't know what the world sees when they look at Brad Jordan. I don't know what they see.
You hear what they...
I hear what they say, but I can't see what they see. You see what I'm saying?
I could tell that you probably was a rapper.
No, man. That
prior
rap,
to you getting here.
I got lucky with the rap shit.
Shut up.
I swear to goodness. I swear, hey, man, right hand to the man. I snuck one in. I snuck one in, bro. I will admit, man, I'm the epitome of a musician, of a producer.
You don't know you great while you writing some of the rhymes that you were making.
That was luck. I'm talking about what it sounded like. You know what I mean? Because you can put what I said on anything, and you put it on some trash, it's not going to sound the same. No,
the words are poetic words. I understand. I know how you feel about music. I'm talking, if you strip away the music.
It's your.
I get that face, but we're not going to fight because I know you will. But it's your lyrics as to why everyone says that, oh, that's my favorite MC.
I think the
beat. It wasn't because you had that beat was dope.
Beats are fire.
Beats were great.
Listen, man.
No disrespect.
My mind playing tricks.
Dope.
So.
Oh!
But the beat is fire.
The story.
You know why? Because the beat is a picking boogers beat with a make the music with your mouth biz 808 that follows the kick drum that has the hung up on my baby sample.
Isaac. Mm. It was great storytelling. Yeah, the beat is the beat. Give me that. But without that story, it's just a beat, face. That the stories that y'all told on that, boy, that's still one of my favorite songs of all. I don't know how to say a lot of rap songs. There's probably three rap songs to this day I can begin and end, and that's one of them. Video included. I've told you that a million. That's still one of my favorite videos of all time. That song is a classic. So
notice, like, all of the videos that I had my hand in writing or producing, you know, semi-directing, it had no talking. It only had storylines.
No, I never realized
that. Start watching, like, videos. Watch the Can't Get Right video. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Watch the Now I Feel You video. You know what I mean?
I used to love that
song.
But
here's the thing.
And it was epic because I had, at that particular time, for Scarface to sit there and tell this story for, what, 7.5
minutes.
You got a different, but that was a long rap.
I know, but
it was great from beginning to end.
And I appreciate that, man. But it was all in the story, though, Hatter.
Yeah, absolutely.
And all I've always wanted to do. No, that beat was kind of garbage.
Shut up, the beat wasn't garbage.
On life, that beat was garbage.
But that beat helped
to
tell
that
story. That beat helped to tell that story.
I bet if I remade that beat, I didn't make that beat, by the way. But if I remake that beat and put that same rap on it, gone. And you probably wouldn't even recognize that it was the same song.
All right.
Yeah.
When that happens,
let you be the judge of that.
We'll have that debate.
I got you.
I'm not gonna fight Scarface about Scarface, because whoever watches or listens to this, they're gonna be like, "This is why is he always fighting face on face?" And you like, "I'm you right?
Like,
you right?"
We always squabble about my shit.
We do.
Because you think I'm so great and I think I'm just mediocre, bro.
Oh, God, I'm about to rap this.
Don't rap it. We got shit to talk about, Adam.
We talk. How excited are you? Listen, everybody wants to be a part of your birthday celebration.
So here's
isn't that beautiful?
It is, man.
People
because
in this city are excited to be a part. Oh, a lady called and she wanted to know how she was supposed to dress. She said because she saw your picture on the cover and he was dressed up. So do we need to dress up? Okay, you know, we be, you know, comfortable and come see Brad. I'll ask him when I see him.
I'm putting on my Sunday best.
Are you trying to tell folks they need to come and they see
I mean, they can do you? How they do.
Okay.
But.
You coming in your Sunday best.
Most people are. Or most people should.
Okay. You said your piece on that. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not going to tell you what to wear, but I'm coming ballroom.
We probably talked about this before, too. I need to quit saying that. But anyway, that tiny desk is still one of the all-time best. And somebody else was like, nah, I've seen better tiny desks that I've ever seen.
Somebody said they've seen better.
I haven't heard that. I'm just saying somebody might be.
I was going to say, Brad.
And they might say that.
I'm talking about.
That was so good, it should have been released as an album.
Everybody
That's
has
how I feel.
Their opinions on tiny desks. But I know for a fact that my tiny desk was as close to the real music that was actually played. Because the person that we did the beats with was there to
help a little.
You feel me? Like and I'm not gonna have a backtrack. Now
And you know, can I just say this? I think your tiny desk was this moment because once when you did it, everybody was talking about it. Face like every once in a while, I hear somebody talking about a tiny desk with an artist over the years. Everybody I know was like, "Bruh, this Scarface tiny desk." Crazy had, and I hadn't seen it, but a million people had hit me like, bro, if you don't sit down and watch that, and I ain't gonna lie, dog.
I think it was brilliant.
I made a clean version. Was it what song? I forgot what song. I cut it up. I'm gonna play it too.
You gonna play it?
Yeah.
Damn.
But you. Oh, it was.
Do you know?
It was perfect.
Do you know that the night before we left, I was not gonna go?
I believe you. That's Brad Jordan. That's what he would do.
I wasn't gonna go.
Because
it didn't sound right.
That's face. Never happy.
And Heavy was so mad at me, dog. It's like he wasn't even speaking to me, man.
Good.
And Mike Dean had just got back to the country from touring with Weekend, right? And he said, "Hey, Brad. Hey, face. You still doing your NPR Tiny Desk tomorrow?" I said, "Yeah." Say, "Man, it'd be super cool if you came." He said, "I just got back from Australia. Let me see what I could do." Man, he hit me and said, "Yeah, you gonna catch that flight?" And I was like, "Hey, man, y'all pack your shit. We going to D.C. Hey, man, that's all I need to hear.
It was classic, man.
I know for a fact that if Mike is there, like Mike played the parts.
He did.
So I know.
Those Tiny Desks don't get nominated for anything or.
This one will.
It should. I mean, and people like, "Oh, you're biased."
I'm not biased.
No, they'll say I'm biased.
Chaka Khan had a good tiny desk.
Oh, well, Chaka Khan, yeah.
E-40 had a good tiny desk. But E-40 had the track playing behind it, though. It wasn't all the way live.
Why was yours so great?
Because I didn't have a track playing behind it. And it was as close to the original as we can make it. You know what I mean?
You know what made it enjoyable? I love the way you were taking your time to tell me about the tracks. I enjoyed that.
And then you have to be able to hear the words, because I noticed like when people write the words down to what I'm saying, they're saying the wrong things. And it doesn't have as much of an impact on you as if you heard the real words. You know? And everybody's saying it's murder, but homicide say it's self-inflicted by the way the bodies were sitting, brains in the kitchen. Who could have predicted? Like, it's like, wow, this man talking that shit. And everybody's saying it's murder. But homicide say it's self-inflicted. By the way the body was sitting. Brains in the kitchen. Who could have predicted? Like, wow, man. You got to, like... And some people would get those words.
I love the way you're into your lyrics.
I am, man.
As you should be.
I am. Hey, think it's a game when it's cocked and aimed and it pops and bangs and it's out with brains. Shit is not the same. What you expected was the spark, dog, but not the flame. I can stop the rain. Like, man, like, this is lyricism at its finest. You want me to talk my shit? I will.
Please, go on. Okay. That's what I've been wanting you to do from day one.
Okay, well, I will.
Boy, I love me some Brad Scarface Jordan, man.
Yeah, sometimes.
I'm happy you're still here.
Yeah, they cut me open, Hatter. I'm happy I'm still here.
And you never know how much you appreciate people till certain things in life happen. I'm gonna just leave that like that. So sometimes people get mad at me because it seems like in this city there's always these particular people that seem like they got something favoritism or, but those people just touched you in a different way. Cause you know, you get the chance to see them grow. So I seen Brad at his craziest worst to him being where he is now and being able to have a seat in the auditorium of your life. You know, it's your life that you live out that I get to watch, but you see all these young kids become grown men. I'm just happy to know you personally and to have seen the growth over the years. And that's just that.
It's wild, man, because remember when I was saying that I can see you,
mm-hmm.
and but I can't see myself, but you can see me. And that right there was a perfect example of you being able to see me, bro, because I didn't see me when I was at my worst.
Mm.
You know? But you did. And I can't see me at my best, but you can.
I can see you.
And I appreciate that. I appreciate that somebody's noticing that I'm growing. You know, I'm extremely grateful to the city of Houston for putting up with me for all these years, man. You know, even though I'm super quiet, man.
Oh,
like I'm really quiet. Like I do not raise no hell. Like I'm the last person to go out and be shooting in the parking lots, and you know what I mean.
I do.
Now, you know, like I'm grown now, so I'm cool. But I think that Houston loves a hero story. You know, like I've been down through that in real life, and people that have people that know me and don't know me that know somebody that know me, or you know they've witnessed me my life, and they'll be like, man, like that's a real ass dude. Like all of that shit he said he went through it. You know, like I've been on my deathbed. I've been shot. I've been operated on. I got my son's kidney. I got some shit in my heart that I don't even know what it is. But I'll say this: I had the opportunity to watch my heart doing this,
pumping,
open, pumping, and then stop. I'm watching this on the TV. Like, wow. So. When I wrote that song, I seen a man die.
Mm.
I seen it for real.
All right, Brad. If y'all don't come see Brad,
I seen it for real.
I know.
Damn. Like, it just, it was beating, man. And then he hit them clamps and done.
Brad, I was supposed to talk to you for 5 minutes.
Yeah, this shit always turns into a lot. I got all kind of stuff to do today. You took up all my damn
look,
time.
He already called me. Y'all don't know this.
Oh, no, don't say that. No.
He called me 12 midnight. Hatter.
I That's not 12 o'clock, man. Oh, it was 10:45.
My baby sleep. I'm like, so whenever I see Face, because Face does not call. So I'm thinking it's an emergency. Not in a bad way. No, you've called me in some very touchy times. I respect that. But you don't call just to be like, hey, man, how you doing? So I see Face. I'm like, oh, snap. Let me jump up. What's
hey,
up?
You waking
what's
up, my baby?
I did say you waking up my baby. Face like, hey, man, I got a haircut. I'm like, mother. Come on early, Face. Anyway, I love Face. Can you give them the details? For the one person out there that has not gotten their ticket yet to be at Brad Scarface Jordan's 55th birthday extravaganza. Okay,
so
bad.
I mean, so people don't know, like, who's coming or whatever, but I got,
they just really coming to see you, but if you want to say.
I got a couple of special guests that's coming.
Okay.
And we're going to have a.
Come to the mic, please.
Oh, I'm tying my shoes. These are my golf shoes.
We know where you're going after this. Okay. You ain't got to tell us.
No, I'm going to get a haircut, then I'm going there. So listen.
Thank you.
So we going to jam. But I want to see everybody, man. You know what I mean? Like it was a point in my life where I didn't think that I was going to see this. Mm-hmm. You know, to die young when I was growing up, to die young was an honor. And if you got old, you live twice. You know what I mean? So I've lived twice, man. This is beautiful, man. And I think people know this. Like, man, that man has been through some shit, man. Let me go ahead and see him. You know, because this may be the last time I see him.
Oh, don't say that, please. I hate when people put stuff like that.
I'm telling you, bro.
I know life is life.
I did a farewell show. I did a farewell show here because I just knew that was it. Boy, I was this big. I look like JJ.
Stop it.
Did you see it? I was skinny as hell.
Okay, Face. Let's not put that negativity in there.
Okay, now fat. So, yeah, but everybody come out to the Bayou Center. It's downtown. We're going to have a good time. I'll come and greet everybody individually and say hello. You know, I'm not going to be in the back hiding and shit. You know, how people be hiding from their people. I can't wait to see y'all. You can go on livenation.com, grab them. You can go on, what is it?
Ticketmaster.
And grab them. And you can just buy at the door.
Get your tickets in advance.
Why?
Cause
I'm in here tan up y'all stuff.
That's all right. We know Steve got it in the budget already.
It's in the budget.
Get your tickets now. Don't get them at the door. Get your tickets now, and then come to the show ready to enjoy the show. To enjoy the show.
Face,
you put on a great show.
Do I really?
Yeah, man.
Really?
You know, maybe because we all know the song, so we can sing along.
Nah,
I want to make it way better.
I want to make it better than, you know what I'm saying? Well, you know how rappers get on stage, man, they just have a record playing, and they be dancing in front of their record.
But Face, you're at a place now, when people go to your concert, you know what they're doing? They're remembering the concert of yours that they went to when they were just 20.
Damn.
They seeing you.
It's like the OJs now.
No, this is beautiful.
Yeah,
this person is looking at you like you've impacted their life so much that you, for a moment, they forget whatever they're going through, however old they are, whatever. And for a moment, when they hear those songs, they like, I remember when I was at my mama's house listening to this song, or I was on the school bus, or whatever the story might be.
Yeah.
That's the beautiful part. When you get a chance to see artists like yourself and you can relive those moments, like, or you hear that one song, like, ooh, man, Scarface was crazy during that time.
And you was there, though. You know,
I was there. But, you know, all those songs resonate just like that, man. So I'm excited. Happy birthday to you.
Appreciate you, man. I'm
glad you're still here. And nothing but love for you.
Nothing
but
love.
Obviously, there's nothing you can do about that.
So, then the last thing, and I'm going to say this before I go.
Come to the microphone, please.
I'm at the microphone.
Thank you.
So, listen. So, Hatter is talking like this, but he's not coming.
Oh, God.
He'll be at home. He'll be at home with his baby. Face, you waking my baby up.
You know, I do love being around my baby. I went to the last show you did when you came here. It was great, too. It was great. Face, you put on a great show.
Hey,
you know, if my wife says it's cool, because they so spoiled, because they can go everywhere I go.
Right.
But I can't bring the 3-year-old.
Man, bring them, dude. My grandson's gonna be there.
If he was maybe 6 or 7.
No, I got my grandson's gonna be there.
Thank you for yawning in the mic. Jeez.
Told me to get
to the microphone, please.
So yeah, my grandson, come on, my grandkids.
How old is your youngest?
Grandson?
Yeah.
All my grandsons are the same age. It's like all my kids was fucking at the same time, and they y'all be good. I'm gone.
Bye, face. Happy birthday. Love you.
Love
keep
you
doing
too,
what you're doing, brother.
Appreciate you having me, man. It's always a big deal when I come see Harry.
Oh,
man.
Gosh, just, here he goes.
It is.
He really excited to get to that haircut and that golf course, though. Don't let him fool you.
Nah, man, I can stay here and talk to you for hours.
No.
It
thank you, man.
A great conversation.
Thank you, man. I appreciate you, brother. Love you.
Appreciate it. Love you, bro.